Greetings from Las Vegas. This is your morning buzzcast for Wednesday, December 6th. I'm Austin Carb, coming to you from the Aria Resort and Casino, site of this year's Intercollegiate Athletics Forum, presented by our partner Learfield. Boy, did the news get started early on Tuesday. Just before we began day one of our conference, NCAA President Charlie Baker offered up a potential seismic shift to the college sports landscape, and perhaps the biggest change ever offered up by any NCAA president. So let's hit on the basics. Baker laid out a proposal to create a new subdivision within Division I that grants some schools more autonomy around policymaking and permits them to compensate athletes in a new way. He described it as a new forward-looking framework where schools that choose to be part of the new subdivision, they can opt in or out, are required to meet a strict minimum standard rooted in athlete investment. Members of the new subdivision will also be permitted to strike NIL deals with their own athletes, which is obviously a night and day difference with the current setup. Perhaps the most impactful benefit of this new model is a framework in which schools can directly compensate athletes through a trust fund. At the very least, this shows that the NCAA under Baker is willing to try radical new ideas, something many pointed to in their reactions. Baker is trying to be proactive, trying to avoid a situation where student athletes could be classified as employees, and trying to potentially avoid having Congress get involved here. And Baker is going to go into more detail today here in Vegas when he sits for an exclusive interview with SBJ's Abe Madcore. I expect a packed ballroom here at Aria to hear what Baker says in his first appearance at the conference. But it's not just the Charlie Baker show here today. Fresh off a drama-filled college football playoff selection show that saw Alabama get in ahead of undefeated Florida State, the SEC's Greg Sankey and ACC's Jim Phillips will share the stage alongside Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark. They're going to be tackling issues of the day with my colleague Ben Portnoy. Other highlights today include Q&As with Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott, Redbird Capital's Jerry Cardinal, and Baylor president Linda Livingston. Among the ADs we'll also hear from are Florida's Scott Strickland, Missouri's Desiree Reed Francois, San Diego State's J.D. Wicker, Notre Dame's Jack Swarbrick, and Clemson's Graham Neff. It's going to be a news-filled day, so if you're not in Vegas to see it live, be sure to stream the event on our site and check out coverage across SBJ feeds. Sticking with college, it was a big weekend for college football viewership with the conference championship games. Alabama's win over Georgia led the way, delivering the best conference title game for any network since the same matchup back in 2018. Other bright spots include the Pac-12 seeing its best title game on record on Friday night, and the ACC jumping 103% from its 2022 number with the Florida State-Louisville game this year. Michigan's throttling of Iowa didn't make for good numbers on Fox, with that game marking the least-watched Big Ten title game since 2018. Texas's beatdown of Oklahoma State also was that conference's least-watched title game since 2017, which was the first year back after a six-year hiatus for the conference championship game in that conference. Now, let's take a look at where all games stack up this regular season. Your easy winner, Ohio State-Michigan, 19.1 million viewers in that number one spot. Then that Alabama-UGA title game was number two with 17.5 million viewers. Rounding out the top five games for the season, Ohio State-Notre Dame, Colorado-Oregon, and the Michigan-Iowa Big Ten title game. Let's look at some broader numbers. A Big Ten team played in at least six of the top 10 most watched college football games this season. The SEC only had two in the top 10. Deion Sanders' move to Boulder also paid big dividends for Colorado, as that team put up six games in the top 50. The Buffs also had two in the top 10, four in the top 20. Primetime also helped the Pac-12 to four games in the top 10, its final season of the conference before Colorado moves to the Big 12. Big 12, zero games in the top 10 this season. Ohio State put three games in the top 10, and Alabama only had one, but had six in the top 20. The only number left to include for this regular season is this weekend's Army-Navy game, which should give college football 56 games that drew over 4 million viewers this season. That's why, folks, this is the number two sport on TV in the U.S. Let's leave school and move over to MLB, specifically Wisconsin. I like what the Brewers have done with top prospect Jackson Chourio. 8 years, $82 million. It's a high-stakes move for a guy that hasn't even made the big leagues yet. And his deal is by far the largest for a player who has never played in the majors. But it could serve as a template for future deals for teams looking to similarly lock up their own top prospects. As a big Orioles fan, I'd love to see these sort of deals for the young players that are on the O's. Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, or Jackson Holliday. These are prospects you can build a whole team around and you're locking them up when they're young. But this wasn't the only piece of good news for the Brew Crew. The team now will be in Wisconsin until at least 2050, after Governor Tony Evers on Tuesday signed into law a bill that authorizes spending more than $500 million in state and local funds to maintain American Family Field. Let's wrap up with some quick hitters from around sports business. I also love what the NHL is doing, bringing its draft to the Sphere in 2024. The league made it official on Tuesday that it's going to do so, and also that this is going to be the last centralized draft for the NHL. This element, bringing it to the Sphere, definitely adds a unique element to what is normally not a big TV draw in terms of viewership. Curious to see what the NHL can do with the numbers there, having the draft at the Sphere. Adidas clearly sees the value that Overtime is creating with its league efforts, like Overtime Elite and the OT7's football effort, and is extending and broadening its pact with Zach Wiener's outfit for my colleague Xavier Hunter. Overtime has nearly 100 million followers across its social media accounts and a streaming deal on Amazon's Prime Video. Over the last 2 years alone, the Overtime Elite Hoops League has sent 15 players to the pros. Pretty impressive. And finally, SBJ's Bill King reports that ESPNBet is getting market access for sports betting in North Carolina through a deal with the Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte, which is the site of the PGA Tour's annual Wells Fargo Championship. The deal is for 10 years and aligns well for ESPN Plus, which will stream 18-hole coverage of several feature groups on its PGA Tour live feed throughout the tournament. Now, North Carolina state law calls for a launch of online sports betting no later than June 14th, and no date has been set yet for getting that online in the Tar Heel State. So, that's your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, December 6th. I'm Austin Karp, looking forward to a big day of college news here in Las Vegas. SBJ is going to have you covered for all angles on that. Everybody, enjoy your hump day.